Hey listeners, today's episode is potentially sensitive. If conversations about pregnancies, hospitals, nurses, or blood are triggering for you, we ask that you do not listen in advance. For any new listeners, once again, we remind you that we do not speak on behalf of the Gloucestercast, Good Morning Gloucester, or another podcast under the Good Morning Gloucester umbrella that no longer exists, aka the Homiecast. Enjoy the show!
Good morning, Gloucester. Time for Alicia Unleashed, talking about what's going on in these streets. Alicia, Alicia Unleashed, bitches.
Good morning, Gloucester. This is Alicia Unleashed. This is episode 85. This is amazing. 85?
Yeah.
I like legit thought I was like 87 or 88 by now.
Well, we just talked about that. There's a few that, you know.
That didn't
lost
make it.
Lost episodes.
So lost episodes. My mind gets lost and not too sure. And
I don't even have those anymore. I don't even have those records. I think they're on your computer, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Oh, you know what? Don't we have a blooper section of the Dropbox?
I think so.
Yeah. Something like that.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, tonight we're here with B-Side.
What up?
And our special guest, which we will get into in a little bit. That's Jess Argentina.
Hi.
So, and she's like, I have no idea. She's probably scared shitless at this point.
She did lead on to something, though, and we'll unpack that in a little bit when we get to her. Because
she
is
secret.
I think she is.
I think she is.
I heard that.
She said something, and I was like, wait, you listen? What? Oh, okay. Well,
there we go.
Or she was just doing her homework.
Yeah. Unlike the rest of our guests. No offense. I love you all, but, like, you know.
You know. So, going into the hot plate, Runaround is having a cruise next
Thursday
out of Salem.
Yes. So they are doing it out of...
August 23rd, by the way.
Yep, August 23rd, Pier 23, out of the with the Mahi Mahi Cruise.
Wait, with Pier 23?
No, not Pier 23 Kitchen.
No, with Pier 23, the band?
No, it's like off, like actual Pier 23 out of
There's way too many Pier 23s.
There's a lot of piers.
Yeah, there's a lot of piers.
We kind of live in a coastal region.
Oh, you know what I was thinking? Pier Ave, which we... I'm just thinking out loud right now.
All
right. But Chris from Seaport is with Pier Ave. I'll show you the picture. That's who we need to get on at some point in life. But, yes. Okay, never mind. We have too many piers happening. Okay, so right around 7:30, August 23rd. Keep going.
I'm attending. I'm also trying to network.
Perfect.
You know.
I cannot make it that night.
I know you can't. But I'm going. I was like, ooh, this is going to be my second boat of the week. Yeah, let's do it. Because, you know.
Where else are you going this week?
I am going on the GHS hockey fundraiser tomorrow night at a Captain Bill's.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And who are you going with that one?
Bethany, who is an author who is best friends with Cindy Tarantino. Now, Fletcher, congratulations. Bethany will join us sometime in the winter, because we didn't get her this winter, but she is an author, or she organizes author, you know, Bethany, my former babysitter.
Yeah.
But we are going to support my first employer, Don's son, Jacob, who is a hockey player and football player and lacrosse player.
Oh, so the all-around American boy.
You.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So there's a lot going on in your life.
Yeah, and I'm on a cornhole league.
I know. When's that happening?
So every Tuesday night in Raleigh, and
you've been going to Raleigh every Tuesday night
since this Tuesday. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And there is a cornhole tournament next Saturday at the Mile Marker at 3 p.m. for the Alzheimer's Awareness, put on sponsored by the Ipswich Bay Cornhole League. It's $25. Per person, so it's $50 a team, and you just throw the bag around. It's like, I think you're at least guaranteed 3 games.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Go cornhole.
I gotta do something. I need a new sport.
You need something.
Yeah, I really do. Really do.
So also, we never want to forget these moments that we sometimes forget, but...
It's kind of our thing. We should just forget it just because.
I know, but we can't.
I know.
Not this one. So today, rest in peace, Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
So we know that she has been battling for quite some time, and even last week, and saying, this is it. Going in the hospice, you know, so forth. And so today, I mean, social media is flooded today.
Oh.
I mean, there's no way in life that you could have missed this. Even if we thought we... No. There's no way in life we could have missed this.
Wanted to be so, so salty and be like, get your playlist out because you know everybody and their uncle's playing every song.
Everyone.
But not... Every one of those hits, but not those other ones. Because the other day, I posted on my Instagram story because it just came up on my iPod. And I'm like, oh, I like this jam. And, you know, I just was like, Lord save the queen, you know? But, you know, I think her family had even said to the media the other day that they were hopeful that she would come out of this. But it's like...
No, it's been a while.
It has been a while. But yeah. There are people that hold out for... quite some time.
Right.
Like, you know, my aunt, she fought for a very long time.
Right.
You know, and so when everyone was like, oh, I'm so sorry about your aunt, I'm like, she is so much better.
Right.
Better place, no longer in pain. So,
right.
It's tough. It's tough.
Of course, on social media, everyone is posting their favorite song or posting to, you know, I posted to Peter's Walk because everything about her, like, just icon, you know, just so iconic and so amazing. And she was the first woman to be indicted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of boundaries that she broke and a lot of, she was just amazing. Only 76, I thought she was older, to be honest. I was like, let me just see how old she was. I honestly thought she was in her 80s, but I was like, oh, okay, so she was young. I mean, well, young in our world. But, yeah. So. And she's our opener tonight.
She's our closer.
Oh, our closer.
Our opener is the special disclaimer. I felt like it was, I felt that it was disrespectful to our disclaimer to have that as that goes into it.
All right. So I heard your opener and it's just fucking funny shit, dude.
Well, some parts of it's funny.
No, some part. Yeah, the last part was very funny.
Right. Yeah, so
I thoroughly appreciated it.
Shade has been thrown. Come at me, bro.
So. Anything else on the hot plate?
Yeah, we're taking a hiatus.
Yeah. I have a lot going on my life right now. I'm starting school full time and just a lot of stuff going on in September, October, you know, and therefore. So I mean, we'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
We've done this before where we have been, I mean, they're not even by choice. This is kind of by choice because I have a lot going on. It was just because of scheduling reasons and whatever before. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Bridget runs the Facebook, let's be honest.
Yeah, so you can definitely keep an eye on the Facebook page. That's not going anywhere. You know, I mean, if someone that I've been working with to get on the podcast is like, hey, I've got this available, I'm going to do everything in my power to get Alicia, and if not, I'm like, oh, this is a tough call. What do I do? What do I do now?
Yeah. No, I'll probably be able to do stuff. It's just not going to be like we've been on a regular basis and everything like that, so.
You also got a kid going to college, you know, in the next 2 weeks.
And a kid in high school that's going to be in my district.
Yes.
So Tyler got into Whittier, which is amazing. But that means he's in my district, my care, you know, 5 days a week, and figuring out how we can bus him to his father otherwise.
Oh, that's a shit show.
Seriously. I mean, there's a lot into it, which is, you know, the really great thing is that, you know, his dad works in Ipswich, slash Topsfield area, like where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly...
Yeah, we're neighbors. We see each other at Market Basket.
Exactly. And that's exactly where the Whittier bus goes.
It's very disturbing.
So, he can, you know, go with Chris, go home with Chris in the Whittier bus, and then he has me as well. But I'm his primary, right? So, I have to make sure he can get to and from. And it's really weird and funny, but this is the first time Tyler has ever taken the yellow bus in his life. He's a freshman in high school. Because lived right over here on Friend Street, I'm not a fan of paying for your child to take the yellow bus. Mm-hmm. And here in Gloucester, you need to pay for your child to take the yellow bus. And I refuse to pay hundreds of dollars a year when I can just go ahead and just drive him down the street. Why are you looking at me puzzled?
It's just another reason why I don't have children.
So, at Whittier,
just adding that to the list.
I don't have to pay to have Tyler take the bus to high school. It's amazing.
Kids are expensive.
It's amazing.
I wonder why I had to walk fucking everywhere when I was a kid.
Well, when we were kids, you didn't pay to fucking take the yellow school bus. You just couldn't take it if you lived less than 2 miles away or something like that. So, but at Whittier, so this is like literally like his first time ever taking buses, have to figure out bus in what route and the number.
Whoa. I
mean, it's going to be pretty big.
But
pretty
you know
big
what,
shit.
Though? This is going to be a life lesson because wherever he goes after this for like college and life, public transit, man, I'm telling you. I'm going on a trip in October and everyone's like, oh, are you going to rent a car? I'm like, nah. Like, how are you going to get around? I'm like, the public transit is amazing where I'm going. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, when you come from here and then you go other places, and you're like, I can take the bus and the subway and the whatever anywhere I want to go.
I'm taking BART, man. I've got my whole schedule lined up. I am set. There's also Uber, but I'm hoping that I'm just going to, when it gets closer to October, I'm be like, yo, my flight lands at this time. Who's taking me to brunch? Let's go.
Right.
Because the best part about having lived in California for 9 years is Lydia and Liz don't have to entertain me. It's like, oh, cool. We'll leave you a key in a certain place. I won't tell you exactly where it is, or I'm not going to say it on the air right now. But, you know how to get into the house, you know, and we're going to be at work, and then we'll catch you later after work. So I will be like hit up everybody, go get my pho, because that's the first thing I do when like I get into town, and then just start my vacation. Can't wait. Oh my god, I can't wait. I'm so ready.
Yeah.
I'm already ready. I'm like, wait.
And that's not even that far away now.
No,
it's really not that close.
I can't fucking wait.
It's amazing. So we're just gonna get to it.
Let's go.
So we have Jess Argentino here.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen anything. Like, literally,
I didn't
like,
know, like, Hot Plate was, like...
Oh, no, it's not a thing.
Jump in.
I was not, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to...
Yeah, no, you're a fool to jump in.
I was just drinking it all in. It's pretty cool to watch you guys do what you do.
That's pretty fun.
And also, shout out to Tuki, because your dog, Bridget, she's amazing.
Yeah, she acts like... Her internal monologue is fucking Sarah McLachlan's angel right now. Like, she, to every stranger, she acts like she's one of those ASPCA animals. I'm like, don't even fall for it, because she is the most spoiled animal I've ever seen. I mean, if she could fit in a purse, which she can't, she would. She's so spoiled by my mother. Aww. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
She's spoiled by our new next door neighbor, who, her and her dog and my dog are probably in love. She brings her ice creams, like dog ice creams. It's ridiculous.
Girl.
That's funny.
Yeah, she's so spoiled. So don't think like she's like underprivileged or anything like that.
Underprivileged.
That damn dog eats better than I do. Although I will say our accoutrements tonight are real good.
Yeah.
And don't worry,
bomb.
We have more wine, so you know.
Yeah.
It's chilling.
That's
gonna
happen.
That
yeah. Don't worry about it. It's amazing. Happen.
I gotta pace myself now.
No. So, Jess, you're a nurse.
I am.
And let's just take it from the basics.
And we're not going to say which hospital, just for purposes.
We're not going to say which hospital, and right now we're just going to keep it basic. Mm-hmm. We'll get into it. But how long have you been a nurse?
11 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you start when you were like 11?
No, out of college, I went to a 4-year school for nursing.
Wait, you went to college and then nursing?
Yeah, yeah.
So why? What'd you go to college for?
Nursing.
Okay, so, hold on. Sometimes I know people will go to certain, like, classes or certificates for nursing,
mm-hmm.
right? But, so did you get your bachelor's of nursing?
Yes.
Right away?
Yeah, so...
Okay, so how did it work for you? How'd you do it? What'd you do?
I knew I wanted to be a nurse for a long time. I went through this period, maybe around 12, that I was kind of dabbling in being a spy, but, you know.
Wait, at 12? Yes. So you knew what you wanted to do. You're like, at 12, it was either a nurse or a spy.
If nursing doesn't work out for you, can you and I be spies together?
Yeah,
oh my God,
that's
amazing.
I was really into, like, reading books about the CIA and
amazing.
Stuff. But that was, you know, but pretty much since high school, nursing was it. And so I just kind of went to a school that was known, you know, for their nursing program, and
What school did you go to? Was it Salem State?
Salem State, yeah.
Okay, all right. So then you did 4 years.
4 years.
So you graduate with your bachelor's in nursing.
Yep.
Okay.
So
awesome.
We take, like, you know, all the I call them boring college classes: English, you know, statistics, blah blah blah.
Okay.
But then we also do the clinicals, and you know, the junior senior year of college is 100% like focused on nursing.
So. Okay, so then you graduate with your bachelor's in nursing, and then what happens?
Then you have to take the board. So just because you have a degree in nursing, your BSN, doesn't mean you can practice. You have to pass a state board. So Massachusetts has their own boards. California, Florida, some states kind of have a consortium of sorts where if you pass, it's kind of, you can go between states, but once you pass your boards, like Massachusetts and Rhode Island, they you can exchange between the two states.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you need to apply for a license, which is just basically money and a piece of paper. But if you pass your boards in Massachusetts, you can practice in a few other states or in New England. So my first job was actually in Rhode Island. So
really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. So, I worked in Providence. It's a hospital that is focused on women and infants. It's actually the name of the hospital.
That's fine. You're not there
it's
now.
Fine.
It's,
no,
fine.
It's fine. But it's...
I'm sure you Google Google.
Yeah. I mean, basically, if you know me in Gloucester, you know. Like,
you know where
yeah.
you work. You know,
but
yeah.
It's fine. So they had, they have a huge NICU. It's funny because in Providence, in Rhode Island, it's this a teeny little state, but their NICU is one of the largest in the country. It's like, the seventh largest in the country, at least when I worked there.
That's ironic.
Yeah. But it's basically, the hospital is just all, labor and delivery, and then they focus on some kind of women's health issues, oncology, things, but, then they have just this giant NICU. It's 80 beds, and it's huge. So to support that, they have a giant new grad program. So for new graduate nurses that have passed their boards, if you're hired, you get into a program, and it's classroom time and clinical time, and it's like a 6-month program where they teach you how to be a NICU nurse. So I moved my butt down there because that's what I wanted to do.
So. Okay, so you went to school. So is it like in, I would say, regular college, right?
Yeah.
You're graduating with this bachelor's, and then you can kind of decide where you want to go from there. But in nursing, how does that work? Like, do you already know what you want to do in those 4 years that you're in there, or decide when you get out, or how does that work?
Some people don't. Some people will start... in like a med-surg kind of basic hospital floor that has kind of everything to kind of get exposure and figure out what they want. I knew like starting college. Like
you knew what you wanted to do?
I wanted to be a pediatric nurse, and then it kind of honed into NICU and neonatal.
And why did you hone into that? If you started with pediatric, what happened for you to want to do that?
I loved PD, and I worked on a PD floor as a nurse's aide, like, through college, and it was great, but I loved the, how specialized and how challenging it was. You have to know every calculation down to, you know, milligrams and even more, and every, like, a millimeter could mean the difference between, you know, the IV being in, the breathing tube being all of these little things, and you have to know, it's such a specific field.
Yes.
But then, I mean, just to bring you, I get to work with babies, and they're amazing, amazing little humans, and so resilient, and just, my mind is blown, like, on a weekly basis at, like,
wow. The fact that you decided that that's where you wanted to go and, like, that's where you wanted to specialize is pretty amazing.
It's, like, I knew it was going to be a place I could maximize and challenge my brain.
Right.
And my heart. Like, I know that sounds super cheesy, but if you know
no,
what
it does not.
Like,
no.
But, like, I could love and, like, I don't know. Be challenged every single day.
So why did you want to be a nurse? Was it to, like, what was your thought process? Like, okay,
the spy thing didn't work out.
Right,
well, it's not, like, for, like, you know, a work-life balance, it's not that great, but it's genetic. I come from a long line of nurses. So, you know, on the very basic level, it's amazing for your work-life balance, like, to raise family and, you know, do what you gotta do and make the money you gotta do do it is great, but even as a kid, I was, like, obsessed with baby dolls and caring for them. I mean, it's just, I love to care for people even when I'm not at work. It's just part of who I am, so it just... It's the most natural thing.
So did you need a special certification or special anything to be in? Because now you're in NICU. So is there anything extra that you need to do to get into that?
No, I mean, they try. Unless there's, like, a new grad program.
Right.
They don't usually just kind of hire completely inexperienced nurses.
Oh, wow.
But some programs do, and you don't, so they just want an experienced nurse, or unless you come from, like, a program or something like that.
Right.
But there's further certifications you can go on to get. I have my NICU certification, so I'm a certified NICU nurse, which isn't necessarily required. It's just kind of, like, level up.
Right, right.
It's you have to take another board, boards and another test to kind of prove you're... It just kind of proves you're an expert at your field. So there's different exams you can take and certifications you can get in, like, all different areas of nursing. So this is what I've done for forever. So it's my passion. So just kept going with it.
So you've been a NICU nurse for 11 years.
There was a brief time, a couple years, I worked at Children's Hospital in their cardiac unit.
Wow. So that was
mainly babies, because when you're born with a cardiac defect, that's an immediate issue. So they follow you forever. Once you're followed by Children's Cardiac Team, you know, I took care of a few adults even.
Wow.
Which was kind of trippy since I'm used to little tiny babies, but
right.
The staff always got a good laugh when I had to take care of a 44-year-old.
And this is kind of a weird thing, but from what I understand about babies that I don't have, you know, there are people that always sniff babies, like moms that sniff babies. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine that you wanted to sniff a 44-year-old cardiac person.
No.
So, like, do you do that with babies? Like, you're like, oh, I just want to sniff their head. Do you have that thing? Or is it like old hat for you at this point? You're like,
a little bit. I mean, it's more like you do build a bond because on the unit that a lot of babies stay for a period of time, and mm-hmm. you build a bond with parents and the actual baby. And, you know, it's a very professional environment, so, you know, we're not, like, loving up on the babies, but
right.
we're just
right.
like...
Yeah.
Oh, you're so close.
Yeah. You're so close. Yeah. You're just like, oh, I love
it,
honey.
It's hard to not love a baby.
Yeah, but like, you know, little nuggles, you know, you just let them sit like on your shoulder and in your neck and just give them a little extra. Snuggle.
Well, the babies feel your energy.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And they know if you're just, you know, if you're there for them,
and
then
that
baby feels
it. I have conversations with them.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. What's a typical day for you? Like, what does your day look like? So, first of all, what shift do you work?
So, it's a night. So, that's...
You work night?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you overnight?
It. Yep, 7 to 7.
Oh,
so
shut
12
up.
Hour, yeah.
Dude, you haven't, like, got rank yet, or you can get, like, first shift, or what?
To be honest, it's come up, and I probably could have, but I love night shift.
Really?
I just, yeah. I
Isn't
mean,
that like the busiest time?
You know, it depends.
Because all the
it
babies
really
like
depends.
To come, you know,
yeah.
be up at night
yeah.
and not sleep during the day?
It depends. But I like, outside of work, it's a good balance for me being home and around for my son during the day. But I love the vibe at night. It's a lot of times just the nurses and the patients, and mm-hmm. You know, we kind of, it's like we rule it, you know. And
right,
it's scary sometimes because you don't have as many resources that are around, so
right.
the team you work with on nights, like, we build a really strong bond, because mm-hmm. you're looking around, and if something goes down, it might be you and two other nurses and a doctor, and
that's it.
And you
right.
gotta really be able to hold your own. But we have a lot of fun too, you know. It's after hours and you're trying to stay up all night with, you know, you get to know people really well.
Of course.
You know, you spend time with somebody at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know them. You
yeah.
know?
How many years have you been working overnights?
Pretty much all 11 years, except
what?
When I worked at Children's, it was rotating. So it was 50-50.
Right. Right.
So.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And
yeah.
how you said you had a son?
Yeah.
And
he's
how old
four.
Is he?
He's four.
So,
yeah.
how does that
yeah,
work?
Yeah, because when I moved home, everyone was pregnant. Like, my sister-in-law was pregnant. I moved home, and they were like, and Sean, our friend Sean, was like, hey, we're going to go to Jess's house for
you
New Year's.
You brought such a good bottle of wine. And I was like, can't drink it!
I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in 9 years.
Yeah.
Hello! Here's all of my wine collection.
Yeah. I was still excited about it.
She's like, oh my God, thank you!
I had
She's
to
like,
wait.
I can't drink it right now! And I was like, is that a sonogram on your shelf right there?
Mm.
She's like, yeah!
Surprise!
Yeah, I haven't really told anyone!
Yeah.
Damn it! But yeah, so pretty much all of my friends have 4-year-olds, and Liam is 4.
Wow.
As well. Yeah.
It's a good year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2013 was...
Yeah.
Or 2012 was a happening year for people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
right
yeah.
about 18 and 14, so... yeah.
But yeah, he's adorable, too. I finally... I've seen photos ever since, like, she would always post photos, and she has the most massive dog on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and I just...
There.
I want to come
yeah.
to the house and just snuggle with him. And just
yeah. He's a lab shepherd mix, but he
oh,
looks
shit.
Much like a black lab, but he's
yeah.
got, like, floofier.
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Must shed a lot?
Yeah, but, you know, we have dark floors and
yeah.
a navy
yeah.
couch. I just want
to.
I guess.
Can't see.
You
know. How old is he now?
He is 8 and a half.
Wow.
Oh, he's our furry baby. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
So what does a typical shift look like for you? Like, if you're doing 7 to 7, like, what happens when you get there, when you leave?
So, you know, like, the my,
you're like,
started
this,
like,
this is so
breakfast.
Typical, like, I don't even know what to
Did
say.
You started,
I mean,
like, I start my work at 7 a.m.,
yeah.
and I go to 4, so I eat my breakfast at 7.
Yeah.
When I get to work.
Yeah.
Then there's lunch.
Yeah.
And then there's an afternoon snack before I come home for dinner. How does
yeah.
that work for you? How's your eating schedule? Like,
yeah.
do you walk in and just, like, You know, are there days where it's just, like, chaos is happening?
Yeah. I mean, there's much to say about the night shift, too, where, like, it's just a different vibe. So, I mean, certainly if there's an emergency going on, it's, like, all bets are off. But we just come in, and we're just not as excitable. Because we're just like, yo, we're going to handle this. It's fine.
Right.
It's all different. It's fine.
So you're the chill.
So, yeah. So when we come in, like the people that work 3 to 11, they notice like when we come in, it's like, ooh, bring it down.
Oh, good.
Bring it down. Okay. We turn the lights down. You know, it's like.
You're the crew that turns the light down.
Let's bring it down. But, you know, and that's on a typical day. Obviously, if there's issues, it's a little different. But, we come in at 7. Our unit likes to, we call it run the board. There's a, you know, on the wall, we have the list of patients, and it's just, like, kind of brief. Like, this is what's going on. This is, like, need to know.
Yeah.
So, like, just the hot spots. Hot plate.
Look at you. There's our hot plate. She got it.
So, then, you see your assignment, and the nurse that we're getting report from, we go bedside to bedside. It's kind of like a new hot thing in healthcare in general, is bedside reporting, kind of getting the patients' families involved so everyone's on the same page, which is a good thing. So, report what's going on, what you need to do. And then in my unit, the babies eat on a schedule. I mean, anybody tries to get a baby on a schedule, but we're really, like, we kind of run it like clockwork because you're managing a lot of babies. They can't all just, it can't be a free for all.
How many babies are in the NICU at a time?
It's a small unit, so we can have up to 16. If there's twins or triplets, but our census sometimes can be as low as like 2, depending on.
Is there a quota on nurses for babies?
Yeah, so it's typically 3 to 1.
Okay.
Depending on the acuity. So if a baby is a little bit sicker or a brand new baby that we're kind of keeping our eye on, it might be 2 to 1. And then the sick babies are 1 to 1. So it kind of fluctuates depending on, how many babies we have and how sick they are. So.
Okay.
Now, when a baby comes into the world, I was going to say comes on board.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the terms are. Never been there before.
Yeah.
Now, say you're the nurse on duty when the baby comes into the world. Now, say you're there, say the baby comes directly, 8:30 at night.
Uh-huh.
Are you with that baby pretty much all night? Like, you're with that family all throughout the night? Or do you, besides also checking on other patients, is that pretty much considered your family? Or do other nurses take over or whatnot?
If the baby's admitted into my unit, then we'll follow. Like, if I'm admitted the baby, like, I follow the baby for the rest of the shift. Not every baby that's born, we won't attend every delivery. It's just the high risk or, anything with issues or concerns, we'll attend. And not every delivery we attend, the baby needs to come to us. We're kind of just
so
there
they will
as,
actually
like, the backup,
put,
you know?
They'll they actually mean? Put you guys in a delivery if they think that it needs NICU?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow, so you've seen a lot of deliveries?
Yeah, so every C-section, there has to be one of us at in attendance, and like anything if any kind of concerns or there's a lot that qualifies us just to be in the room, but we try to kind of hang back unless it's needed.
So you guys actually have to be in a room just in case it's needed, not necessarily that they came to you.
Right. So it gets kind of like wild, too, if there's a lot of deliveries that we have to attend and you have a 3-baby assignment that you're trying to feed the baby and, be with the parents and educate them and, kind of run the place, but then you're called to a delivery and some of them are like, we get a heads up sometimes.
Because if they're scheduled, then you get a heads up.
Yeah, but sometimes we get a call like, help now run, you know,
and for like emergency
C-section and that's when the team comes and you like into play, and you know, you might be, you know, I might be running to a delivery, but I know somebody, one of the nurses that I left behind, has my back and is looking out for my patients and you know, running the ship. So so even though we all have our individual assignments, we kind of all, which is why the hot plate is so important.
Yeah. I love that.
I'm going to start it now. I'm going to change the name.
Do it.
Foreground sounds like so boring. Perfect. Let's call it the hot plate.
Tell all your coworkers about this podcast. Like, they're like, what are you doing, Jess?
But yeah.
They're like, no, you can't listen to
what is happening.
I totally understand what it's talking about. So I didn't have my moment with the hot plate. This is my moment. Let it happen.
Yeah. There are times when it's like the same people, like that, you know, if you're working all weekend, you're giving a report to the same people. We've all been there all weekend. So, like, by Sunday night, we're like, do we have to do this? Like, the hot plate? We know. It's all the same babies. It's all the same nurses. Let's just get
right. Now, So, if you are assigned, like, so if you're assigned a patient on, like, a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back on Saturday, do you get that same patient, or does it swap? Like, is it, or is it sometimes, because you know it, because you know their situation? I'm only referencing it because, let's just say that there's someone in my life that might go into the hospital every February.
Yeah.
that, you know, the nurses get to know them.
Yeah.
And there's a solid chance that she gets them every day, and they're like, hey, how are you doing today?
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if that's how that works in other places besides older people.
Yeah. They try to keep the continuity because it is important. You get a rapport with the family, you get to know the little nuances with each baby. I mean, every baby is so different, even if they're kind of,
and you also kind of know, like, if they come on to the ward, or, you know, you're the one that, I hate to say, like, accepts them in, or enters them into the system, you know, you kind of know what's going on with them as well, and you're working through it. It's kind of like, I don't even want to reference, this is so, so un-PC, and I apologize for anyone that's listening that's in the... But, like, it's, you know, if, like, someone was to come into my department and start trying to do inventory, it's like, don't touch my stuff.
Yeah.
This is, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Get off my
territory. Get off my things. Like, this. But, again, if it's helpful and needed because you're pulled somewhere else, that's like,
also
totally
helpful.
Cool.
Cross-training.
But, sometimes, you know, depending on the needs of the unit, if we are really slow or there's, like, we have a new... person that we're training, or there's just it's very fluid how things have to work, so you kind of have to be flexible. So even if you're back to back, you know, 12-hour shifts, you might not get that same assignment based on, like, the good of the entire unit, what's going on, where you're best served. Typically the continuity is where you're best served and taking care of the patients that you know, but I've, you know, kind of moved my way up the ranks a little bit, so I do charge a lot of times, and it's, you know, you kind of have to be flexible and know that sometimes you have to go and do something else to kind of help, you know, and give up an assignment because it's more appropriate for another nurse to have or something like that. It's
right.
But
so in your many, many years, what is kind of one of your happiest or success stories of NICU?
What is one of your better moments?
Yes. I mean, because you know, they all come in for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So what is one of the most positive experiences that you've had?
There's, like...
You're like, oh,
hundreds,
my God, I can't think of it.
Like, it's...
I didn't read these notes that Bridget sent me. I wasn't ready for this.
No, I do. I did my homework. I really did. I was, like, super fangirling about this, so I was very excited and prepared. But I have a couple examples, but it doesn't even, like, touch the tip of the iceberg of, like, how many.
Because there's a lot.
Because there's one that, like, and this is just like the last year. I'm just gonna pick from the last year because if you go dig,
no one knows who,
like,
you're talking about. No one knows anything.
No.
Just, you know, anything
but,
that's, you know.
Yeah, but there was a baby that was, you know, we were expected to attend a delivery. Just kind of that protocol. They were kind of concerned, but it wasn't like a definite this baby
right.
would absolutely come and be admitted. But when the baby came out, it was like evident right away that the baby needed a lot of surgical intervention, and it was very, 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 very sick, like
wow.
right off the bat. And it was totally unexpected by the OB team, our team, like it
wow.
was just kind of, and that happens sometimes. It's just,
yeah.
this is put in front of you. And the two nurses I was working with and the doctor, and like we all, I mean, this baby's okay, and I don't want to get into too many, like, you
no.
know, keep it light, whatever, but
don't want to get into too many terms.
This baby went
like
down really fast,
yeah.
and it was just one of those days that, in the worst circumstances,
right.
it was one of the best
wow.
day. Like,
yeah,
it
yeah,
just,
yeah.
situations.
It
yeah.
was the people that were on and how we worked together. We didn't even have to talk almost. It was just everything.
Right.
Was
that's amazing to have that type of team.
And we still recall that all the time. And that doctor that comes on when the three of us are on, she's like, it's my 18.
That's
yeah,
my dream team.
Yeah. So
that's
and,
it. Dream team
and,
right there.
It was really, I mean, I've worked in more critical units where there's really, really, really sick babies. But in those, like, at Children's Hospital, you have everything at your fingertips. You have world-renowned
right.
doctors, surgeons, every kind of medical equipment. Like, so, you, like, to save a baby there, it's like, it,
right.
not that it's easy, but you have all the resources, and you're
right.
not alone, you know? You
right.
have a fleet of people, and,
yeah.
But when you're in a smaller unit, and there's two other nurses and a doctor, and, you know, not as many resources as that place,
right.
and you have an outcome like that, I mean,
yeah.
that, like, that was a huge moment in my career. Just,
of
like,
course,
that,
yes.
like, you could do that.
So,
right.
can I ask you a question? So,
yeah.
it's the two, so it's the doctor, you, and two other nurses.
Typically, depends
so
on the
So, the
census.
Two other nurses
yeah.
are also NICU nurses?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
so, does that mean there's also the actual, like, OBGYN?
Yeah, so...
And nurses yeah. for actual pregnancy?
Yeah.
So there's, like, probably, like, six or seven other people, or, like, four other people in the room besides you four.
Well,
is that right?
Yeah, I mean, at a delivery, it's just one nurse and a doctor for the baby, and then there's, like, the OBGYN and, like, the...
Okay, because I've never had to be in the room
and
for
And, like,
all
the
of that.
Labor nurses, so it's, like,
okay.
the... Team mom and team baby, kind of. Yeah. We all work together, but, like,
okay.
you know, team baby only comes if they're worried.
Right.
So,
right.
oh, so team baby, so, all right, I'll ask off air because this is
going to start. You can put this into terms that, you know, you don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, no, because, you know, I only have the experience, the only time I've ever been so close to a freshly born baby. Was last year when... My
Alana.
Sister-in-law
yeah.
had my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I was even there instead of getting a text message, guess who's here, 3 days later.
Yeah.
Sorry, Monica. I said it. was because my
You're,
niece was
yeah.
in Florida and I was on emergency TT time
uh-huh.
with the four-year-old or the three-year-old at the time. So we went into the room and, like, you know, there she is, like, little tiny... Peanut, and it was like all these nurses focusing on her, but then there was also these other nurses focusing on mom, and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, a lot of people
yeah.
in here.
Yeah.
What is
yeah.
happening?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. So I was just trying to figure out, like, if there was a situation where it had to be, if it was larger than your team, would the other team step in, or how would that have
So the labor team is trained to kind of, in...
If needed.
Like, in newborn resuscitation, everybody has to have the same, it's like the basic CPR kind of training, but it's a little bit more...
Whole other different
like,
level.
Yeah, but for for newborns, and so they're trained in that, but if we're anticipating that it's going to go down big... Then we'll have two nurses on, and then we can call for backup, and our team will kind of come down. And
okay.
But, you know, if it's unexpected, then the labor nurses are amazing, and they step in with, like, you know, all
just listening to
that.
You describe
yeah.
like your best moment. I was like, I'm going to ask about this because now it's going to bug me if I don't ask her right now. And I don't, like, I'm like, I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to do it right now.
I have another one. It's, like, on the lighter side just because, like, you know, the sick babies are, you know, not. It's hard to hear.
We put a disclaimer on here.
But this baby was just born a few weeks early and just needed to be, you know, loved and grown and, you know, taught how to live his life, you know, outside the womb. So he was with our unit for about a month. So we got, you know, we got to know the parents and everything. And it was a baby that I got to take care of, like, on a regular basis. Just continuity kind of played well. It was just, I was able to kind of follow his journey from start to finish, and it was his 1 month birthday, and you know, if you've been on Facebook, you see, like, everybody's like 1 month photos, and there's, like, super cute things, the stickers, the blocks, whatever. But it was a big deal, and so I was on, and the unit was really busy. We were maxed. We had no room in the inn, and it was kind of a crazy day, but his parents were trying to figure out, they had a sheet that had, like, the 1 through 12, and then you, like, circle which, like, month it is, and you lay the baby down, and they were like, the dad was kind of holding it up, and the mom was trying, like, and they were trying to figure it out, and I was like, we're gonna do this, because this is important. This is, like, poor baby has been here for a month, and, like, this is where, like, his life shouldn't start after he goes home. Like, his life, he's been living his life. Let's, let's we got to document this. And so I got a bunch of blankets from the maternity floor and laid a bunch of, so it was, like, padded on the floor. I moved furniture. And there's, like, crazy stuff going on. And, like, we're up on, like, this stool, like, and we laid him down, and I hid his wires so he kind of, you know, didn't have to be, like, hooked. And then, like, for a couple pictures, I was like, okay, we're gonna just disconnect him real quick, and, like, so he had his, like, his toes are free, and it was just, like, he took, and we just captured this moment, and it's just, like, so, I mean, it's such a basic thing, but it's, like,
no,
so
it's not
important
basic
because
at all.
Huge, that's a huge,
because it's, like, these babies shouldn't be, like, not able to have all the experiences, you know, I mean, they're, it's in a different way, but it's just, that's one of, you know, it's, like, the art and the science of nursing is, like, you know, there's, like, that moment where it was just, like, love, but then the other one was, like, it was using every inch of my brain, you know, to save a baby.
Right.
And you can experience that in, like...
Right.
But it's also the psychological aspect of the parents, too.
Yeah.
He's obviously probably won't remember this, but he'll see the photos when he grows up. But for those parents, that meant everything in the world.
Yeah.
You know? And in the, so, and you also have to play a role in that too. Have you ever met or seen any of the children that you've brought into the world or helped bring into the world?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I'm fortunate. There's some close friends of mine that have had babies in the unit, so I get to watch them every day. And but they, every year we have a reunion. Which is great. So the babies born that year will come back, and we get to see them and, like, how well they're doing. We get Christmas cards from, like, so many graduates, and that's, like, the best thing. We hang them all over the nurse's station, like, wallpaper, and it's just so awesome to, like, remember and see them grow, and it's, and, you know, we keep in touch with certain families, you know, you connect with and everything, and that's awesome.
How long do they typically stay in the unit?
It
depends.
It really depends, because a baby we're just watching for an infection but is doing well might only stay 24 hours. But a baby that was born early might stay a month, 6 weeks. And then there's babies that are born very prematurely, like, you know, 23, 24 weeks.
Wow.
That will, you know, we stabilize and transfer to a Boston hospital where they can kind of get that constant, you know, like,
care.
Higher level care, with all the resources. And but they'll come back to us once they're a little bit more stable. And so, you know, we've celebrated quite a few babies, like, 100 day. Like, they're 100 days old, so that's That's over 3 months. I mean, that's a long haul for the parents and for the baby. But we try to make those moments a little, you know, take the edge off of that. And
right.
We make crowns, and I've made little, I'm like a crafter, so I do little, like, you know, scrapbook pictures. And twins that came back to us, they weren't super premature, but they needed to spend some time in town, and they came back, and I made a little scrapbook of, like, our first road trip. You know, like, made it like a scrapbook page, like, yeah, we took the bus, the ambulance, all the way back. And then, like, I've made, like, little graduation caps and stuff for babies that have been with us for a long time that are graduating, you know. So, yeah, and, like, tubby, you know, first tub and stuff. Like, just trying to capture those moments for babies.
Kind of normalize
the situation. Yeah, because they do. They live there. So, that's, you know, we try to make it homey and make it, you know, a little bit easier.
Less sterile.
Right, exactly.
Make it less sterile and fluorescent.
Yeah. Right.
Is the word.
Yeah. Are there other nurses like you? Because you seem to, you know, you're passionate about what you do.
I kind of just wanted to hang out with my mom.
Right. Like, you're amazing, and you're very passionate, and you love what you do, and it's apparent, and if everyone could see her face, you could see it light up, and, you know, things like that. So is that the typical, like, what's that?
I mean,
like?
I think that people go into nursing for a lot of reasons. I think a large majority, it is a passion. When you say, I'm a nurse, you're not describing your job, you're describing yourself. Like, this is through and through who I am, and it's not when I'm at work. It's like, I'm a nurse sitting here, you know?
Right, right.
So I think most nurses do feel that way.
That's very much like my sister. But, so my sister's a nurse. Uh-huh. And she's going for her bachelor's in nursing right now. She should be done very quickly.
Cool.
But she specializes in nutrition, and also eventually, at first, she wanted to be geriatrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But in general, that's what she is. She's a nurse, right?
Yeah.
So she can be like, oh, that artery and that. I mean, she takes it, like, that is who she is. Like, exactly what you just said. That's who she is. If she was here next to you, oh my God, forget about it. Both of you would be like going back and forth, like, oh my God, whoa.
Yeah.
Like they're passionate
when
about
Nurses
it.
Month or Nurses Week comes back, we'll have a round table.
Shit.
Oh,
her, can you imagine her and Celia together?
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, oh my God, like, seriously, like, Celia is just.
But it's
so.
Another
so
reason why I also asked you to come on too is, you know, for nurses it's different than, like, oh, you're a nurse. It's like, oh, I broke my leg, can you fix it? It's, you know, you're a different field.
Mm-hmm.
You're a specific field.
Yeah.
It's completely different, you know. It's, you know, it's just
right.
like any other job. It's like just like any doctor. It's like, I'm a doctor, but I'm, you know, a doctor of this, I'm a nurse of that.
There's so many different
things.
Right.
I also find your job very fascinating because there's a lot of people I know that have babies.
Yeah.
A lot of people. And I feel like you don't really hear about your side and what you do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, hey, Jess, do you want to come and talk about your job?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm blown away about, like, everything that you talked about. And, I mean, I've known you for 15 years, so not to say that I haven't known your husband for a lot longer, but, you know, kind of. But, you know, I met you when I was 21. I was like, wait.
Well, you know.
I love him, I do. But
yeah.
I was just like, and then I was like, oh, my God, she's the most adorable thing on the planet. And so, you know,
I am known on my unit as the unicorn, or Rainbow Bright. I mean, I do, like, there's people that are very passionate that I work with, but I bring an extra
another level.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, some people love it, and some
she's
people
just like Celia.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
well,
I mean,
you talk to my sister. My sister is like the same passion, like. She's just all into it.
Yeah.
You know, she's all in all the time.
Yeah.
And no matter what she does.
But it's just like the energy that she's radiating.
Yeah.
Like, I can feel it from here.
Right. No, absolutely.
And I'm just like,
and
it's not the
it.
Sugar talking. I'm just like, it is just pure.
It's not even the wine. I'm having so much fun chatting with you guys. I haven't even finished my glass. That's
good.
Yeah.
So there's obviously, to every job, there's obviously a depressing side. And I don't want to get into it, but...
There needs to be an understanding.
But it's a part of it.
Yeah, know? It's a part of it. So what, like, how do you bounce back from days? And, like, what was your worst day that you were like, I don't think I can do this anymore? Have you even had those days where, like, you're like, fuck this shit, I can't even do this anymore. Like, this is... Yeah.
She's really never said, fuck this shit. Maybe she has.
Not out loud.
Listen, I say what people think, so there we go.
There's been a handful of occasions I've walked into the nurse's station, and I'm like, well, you know what, guys?
Today's my last day.
I'm going to go work at Petco and be a dog groomer, because this is a lot. There's difficulties on one side of things where, you know, everyone's going through a lot in the situation when they have a baby in the NICU, and it's not anybody's best day, and so you know there's, like, that added stress, and having it, your child, it, you know, pushes you beyond the limits of what you can kind of wrap your head around. So, that being said, there's been trying times with, you know, in a very few amount of times, but where, you know, it's really difficult to cope with the parents because they're almost kind of fighting against what you're trying to accomplish, and we just want to make a baby well and feel good, and that's what we do. And, you know, there's a lot of parents that Google. It's like, I could get on my soapbox for days, but
about Google.
And
they do it in the hallway. Yeah, I'm sure they do it in the hallway.
So that's hard when, you know, when it's, you really get in a difficult situation with a parent because they have rights, but we also know, you know, we are doing what we're
while your parents Googling and thinking that they know better than you and telling you that you need to do something? Is that basically
you know, like I said, it's nobody's best moment when they're going through this, like, traumatic event. But there's, like, parents that are disrespectful, parents that are threatening, parents, like, you know.
They're probably in life or death situations.
Exactly, yeah.
They're in an elevated moment of stress.
And so we just have to kind of eat it, lean into it, and support them as much as we can, but that's hard when you're also trying to do 50,000 other things in your head, and, you know, I mean, we do it, and that's part of the job, but that's another thing
that's impressive about you, is that you can, like, you can take, well, I don't want to say take that, but you take that kind of negative energy or that kind of force field, and you're also trying to process, is that cord plugged in, or is that done?
Yeah.
Is that machine hooked up? What medicine, what bags or whatever is being hooked? Like, would be like, peace out, I'm out.
And at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're just like, okay, bring it. It's adrenaline that kind of gets you through. And then, like, on the other side of things, there's, you know, just the sad, you know, hard days where I remember there was shift a year or two ago, and we had a baby born very early, and was able to stabilize that baby, but it took everything in all of us to do that, and the baby you know, was able to be transferred out, but you know, then, like you kind of said with your dispatcher friend, it's like, then we go back to work and we take care of all the other babies.
I know, it's so crazy.
And
so
then
do you get to do brief at all when there's situations?
We do if there's time. I mean, but if we're trying to get everything put back together, sometimes it's like a couple days later. Sometimes it's right after it happens. Sometimes it's at the end of the shift. It kind of depends on how crazy the day is. But then, like, at the end of that, so the baby just transferred out, like, some kind of, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, and so we still kind of had the rest of our shift, and you know, we pulled ourselves up, leaned into it, and did what we had to do for the rest of, you know, our patients. And then I was literally at the time clock about to swipe out, and they called another code, and it's just like, you just have to bring, like, you just have to find it, you just have to just do it and go and run. And that's, and it's, you know, when you're toast. So, and then, yeah, I don't want to get into.
Why do babies transfer out? Like, so are there times when you've ever lost babies in your care? Like, from birth to you, can't transfer out soon enough.
Not, she was not trying to get there. Hello? No. She was trying to skirt that.
I know, but, I mean, at the end of the day, that's your job, right? You're a NICU nurse, and you are dealing with the best and the worst at the same time.
Yeah. How often do you see that? So it's rare in... at the hospital I'm at, we're usually able to stabilize the baby, and there's been outcomes where we know it's like we're stabilizing the baby where there's nothing that can be done. Because sometimes things happen before the baby's even born, but we've been able to stabilize a baby enough to give the family time to say goodbye. But that is typically done at, you know, a hospital in town, because they have a lot of, like, the, a lot of the MRI and the, you know, the neurology consults that can kind of confirm, you know, or, like, you know, more studies that to make those tough calls. There's a baby that they did not qualify to transfer out. It didn't pass on my time, but I was part of the... attempt to stabilize, and that, I gotta tell you, I had nightmares just that I did, like, did I, like, I knew I did everything right, and it was actually one of the best run scenarios. Everything was locked, it was everything, everyone was on point, everybody did everything right, even, like, it was everything right, but, you know, you go toe-to-toe with God sometimes, you can't win every time. But I still had nightmares about, like, did I do the, like, I mean, we do CPR, like, it's in our blood, like, we know, it's, like, you know, we do it right, but there was, like, I woke up, like, trying to be, like, did I do it, like, did I do everything, like, and
did I
just
night,
I just, yeah, and you just, like, kind of, I mean, and it fades, you learn, there's, like, a place you put it in your, you know, deep down, and you just, you know, it stays with you, and it builds who you are, and how you take care of patients, and what, as you go further, but it's, like, it's always there, and then, certainly on the cardiac unit, that was a different story. I mean, there's a lot of,
Babies that
struggle. Yeah, so I have a big place in my heart for a lot of that, but, you know, you don't ever get over it, but it's just a part of you, and you kind of absorb it in a way. It's not, like, buried, it's just,
it takes a special person to be able to look at anyone, to be honest, you know, hooked up to tubes or have, you know, any medical procedure to be done to them, and you deal with this on a daily basis with infants. It just it blows my mind. Like, I just you're special.
Thank you. It's funny though, because you know, people say that a lot, like, how can you do this?
And
I get nervous around adults. Like, I draw labs on, like, a teeny tiny, like, 3-pound baby, and that's, like, that's fine. And then if, you know, once in a great while, depending on staffing needs, they, you know, they'll need us to help out on the maternity unit. And they give us very, like, basic, stable patients that don't really need much and are just, like, having a beautiful beginning with a baby, and they're good. But, you know, if they need their labs drawn, I'm always, like, finding another nurse that works on it. And I was like... what can I do for you? And they're like,
you're like, I really know what to do. Like, really,
you draw teeny tiny veins. This mom has, like, giant veins. Like,
yeah,
like,
exactly. Compared to what, like, you do,
and it's just, I'm like, it makes me more, like, I'm more nervous.
That's,
you know,
so
with adults.
That is funny.
Than with it, but it's just what you know. You know, I feel like, you know, you
You're like, I can find a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't give
don't,
me.
Don't find the haystack. I can't find that. Like, I don't want to deal with that.
But that pipe, I'm too scared to hit.
Like, oh my God. That's funny.
No, I know. But yeah, it's just what you know, I guess.
That's funny.
And what I love, you know? So it just, yeah.
So what do you do outside of, you know, work besides, you know, being with your son and your family and whatnot to kind of separate your work from, like, your home life? Like, do you do anything to kind of distract yourself or?
I'm laughing because, like, you know, nurses tend to, like, stick together. So I have a lot of friends that are nurses, and we just have, like, you know, and after a crazy shift, then there's a couple friends you just call, and you're just like, I'm gonna rage, and you're just gonna need to listen. And it's, you know, because it's hard to try to explain that
right.
to, like, tough situations. Even my husband, he's very supportive of me, but he's like, you did the best you could, right. you know, and I'm like,
you don't get it, right?
So that still, even though it's like you're back in it with the nurse world, it's like it's such a huge support. Even like my mom's a nurse, I talk to her, and you know, some of my closest friends, so we kind of vent to each other with that. But I'm a pretty simple girl, and I like to just, you know, walk around my neighborhood with my dog.
And you just started running too, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you could qualify that, yeah. No, I've done a couple 5Ks now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Just a couple. You know, I've done a couple of 5Ks. You know, maybe you could say I'm a runner. Are you fucking serious? Dude,
well,
I can't even, like, run down the street. If I can run a 5K, I think that is a fucking
Listen,
huge accomplishment.
Unless I'm chasing a junkie,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not running.
So what, like, that's, like, that is, like, don't downplay that. That's a pretty huge thing.
I mean, like, I guess, yeah, because...
Like, did you just one day decide, you know what, I'm just gonna run a 5K? Did you train? Like, what's that?
Well, I mean, in May, I couldn't run a mile. Like, I was not,
okay, so
like...
Okay, so this is an accomplishment.
I've never, ever played sports or anything. Like,
okay.
I was not a sport person ever, even in high school and nothing. I was, yeah, I was hardcore nerd, so... With tangible, like, coordination skills I don't have. Like, I'm more interpersonal, you know, kind of skill, like, intangible stuff, but no. Another great thing about nursing is the camaraderie and, like, the support. So on our unit, some of the doctors and nurses are avid runners. And
right.
they're some of my favorite people, and they were like, you can do that. Like, so Fiesta 5K, you know.
Was that your first one?
That was my first one, yeah.
Awesome.
But
did you train before? Like, how do you just get up and start running?
Well, so I was super embarrassed because I'm not a runner. So I was like, I'm going to run with my dog, because then if I can't run, I'm just going to be like, oh, I'm just walking my dog.
Did you literally just start running that day?
No, not at the...
Okay,
no.
So how did you prep for it beforehand?
Well, there's the Couch to 5K
yep,
app
that
so I kind of
that.
Loosely followed.
Okay.
I just kind of would, like, jog with my dog.
Did Bear be like, what's happening? What are we doing?
Bear was like, what? We're running? And so he would be dragging me in the beginning, but then because he's 8.5, then I'd be, like, dragging him at the end. So we were kind of well matched, but he poops, like... So, I don't know, like, 3 times a mile.
Tuki
so,
does the same thing when she smells
and
something.
So
she's
like,
ooh, shiny.
Yeah, and then there's nothing more awkward than running with, like, multiple poop bags. You know, it's, I don't know. I was like, yeah. So I kind of got a little bit more better at it, I guess, so I could run a little bit further. So then I just started doing it, like, earlier in the morning, and, like, nobody's around. And,
right.
And, I don't know, and just built up to it. I'm like, I'm going to run... down the street, and I'm gonna run a little bit further on here.
Okay.
So, any chances of you running with Kevin and D-Row next year in the Boston?
Oh no, but Kevin is, yeah, he's pushing me. He's like, pretty soon, and I was like, no. But yeah, no, he ran the Fiesta 5K too, and it was cool. I mean, so it loops around, you know? So, like, I was, like, starting the loop, and he was, like, coming back on the loop. But we had, like, this cool, like, you know, we, like,
high-fived
each
other. I'm just kidding.
And I was like,
hey.
I know one of
Did that fucker wear his goddamn Boston Marathon medal while he was running the Fiesta 5K? I'm here. Hi. How you doing?
But
15 minutes. I'm good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But yeah, he's an awesome resource because he's, you know, like teaching me a little tricks of trade. I'm slow though.
See, I did my research on you too.
Look at that. I know. It's out there.
It's true. I was like, has she always been a runner?
No.
Did I know this?
No. And I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, I feel like I'm hanging with the cool kids, you know, just like, because there's a group from work that's running the Chicago Marathon. And
oh, that's
so they're
cool.
All training. So they go like, oh, we're just going to do like 16 miles. And I'm like, oh, yeah. But they also do like to do these.
I wish
5Ks.
People could see your face when you did that. It was the most adorable thing on the planet.
But they also like to do these little 5Ks. I mean, they're a big deal to me, but like, you know, so it's fun to kind of have a group that we, you know, that's very supportive and, you know, encouraging. And we're doing, like, a lot of the breweries have fun runs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's beer and pretzels afterwards. Like, yeah. So, I mean, that's motivation.
Those are the runs I'm like, wait, you get rewarded with booze at the end?
Yeah.
That sounds all right, but,
yeah.
You know.
But to bring it serious a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a super serious person, but, like, I love Night Shift, and that, I mean, the science is out there. That'll kill you faster than, like, anything. I mean, it is brutal on your body, so... You know, being, like, you know, getting into my 30s, I'm like, if I want to do this...
Wait, getting
I
to your 30s?
No, I'm
oh,
no,
man,
I, no, no, I'm in my 30s.
Oh, you're
I'm
in
34.
Your...
I'm just like,
oh,
yeah.
Getting to your 30s? Well,
no, getting into it. Like,
okay,
I mean,
not
because
for nothing, you don't look 34. You definitely look like you're still in your
20s. Oh, thanks.
So that totally made sense.
So...
I'm trying to do the math here. I'm like...
Oh, Bridget doesn't believe it.
No,
because when I was leaving for California, there's and I have video, and it's on VHS.
spit your mind out now.
And it was probably the last basement New Year's, and I was like, I was like, Jez, when do you turn 21?
This girl has more dirt on me than I ever know.
I promised a lot of people that I would never show it as much as I tried. I was like, I can't do that to people now.
Maybe a private showing, Adam.
You know,
private showing.
I'm willing to do that, but you know, as I'm getting older, I'm like, yeah, Bridge, I don't want to relive that anymore. Don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Thanks. But I was like, Jez, when do you turn 21? And you're like, and you say your birthday, and you're like, look at someone's drink, and you're like, meh, and start drinking it. And it was like, I think it was like a Smirnoff Ice or something like that. We used to drink the most nastiest shit on the planet. So wait, I was like, I was only 22 when you were 20.
So she's not that much younger than you.
I was like, no,
no,
I have to be a lot older than that. No. But, you know, I'm 36, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like,
older,
no, shit,
we're getting deep in there, deep
like,
in the 30s.
She's completely younger than me. I was like, because I'm like, I met her when I was 21, because I was doing the math on my drive home today. I was like, yeah, it's been 15 years, because I was 21, and I know that for a specific reason. And I was like, yeah, 21,
She
was not 21, I know that for a fact, but...
She was only 2 years younger.
Yeah.
Statue of limitations.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
only
she was 19.
Yeah.
That's still old.
Hey.
I mean, it was in a responsible-ish way, right?
There was an adult there.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I try to, like, to keep, you know, healthy. And I mean, certainly, it is what it is. I live my life. I'm not gonna, you know... I indulge in everything, but, like... To try to, like, you know, the basics of trying to fight, like, literally losing brain cells from lack of sleep, which the studies are out there. So I try to be as healthy as I can. Because I like nights. It's cool. So I want to keep
doing
it.
That's so crazy. Because I'm in bed till, like, 9 o'clock at night. And I have to have a full 8 hours. I really don't know what it would be like doing overnight.
Don't
know.
I mean, it's, some
you
people
have
are
to
built
be
for it.
But
some
you adjust to it, right?
Yeah.
You,
like, I mean...
How long did it take you to kind of adjust to this?
Lord.
Like, okay.
I don't know. I mean, I've always don't know if it's genetic because my mom was a nurse too, but
so
I can kind
used
of
to
sleep
her schedule.
Sleep when I, you know, like I can run off not as much sleep, and I can sleep when I have to. Like, a lot of people have a hard time sleeping during the day.
Me too. I can't.
I mean, when it's humid and 90 and gross and, like, whatever, that's tough in the middle of the summer. But other than that, I mean, I can sleep pretty
well. So do you do 3 days? Like, you work 12. So yeah. Do you work 3 12s or?
I used to, but when I had my son, then I went part-time. So I do 2 12s a week, but I still have to do 3 in a row on my weekends. So tomorrow I'm going in. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So on the 7?
Yeah. So, it's kind of...
And then does that rotate the weekends?
Yeah. So, I was off this past weekend now. And
okay, so every other weekend.
Typically, we're trying to move to every third weekend, but it's, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Okay, so you'll work 7 to 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
Then what will you have off after that?
Then I'm off Monday, which is a fake day off, because then I'm back Tuesday. So Monday, I'm, like, leaving work on Monday morning because I work Sunday night.
Yes.
And then I have to come back Tuesday, so we call it a fake day off.
But Tuesday at night.
Yeah. So then, and then I'm off for another chunk because I got my 2 days in. So it's, like, Friday, Saturday are my 2 days, and then Sunday, Tuesday are my 2 days. And then I kind of had the rest of the week to be home with my son. And
so then you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of...
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
I mean, I'll pick up extra, you know, overtime when I can, like, you know, if the need is there and, you know, if they send up a flare and stuff,
because you have those you have those days.
Yeah.
You can say, yep, I can do that.
So it's worth it. You know, you work.
Totally.
You lose a whole weekend and, you know, I do, you know, working nights and weekends and holidays and stuff.
But then I'm home. You do and you don't. I mean, you just said you can... So if you get off at 7 a.m., if you sleep for 3 hours, you and those people who can sleep for 4 hours get up and then function for the rest of the day and night and then sleep for another?
Yeah.
Like, I know people like that, and that's just weird to me because I cannot do that.
It's so, like, I'll get up tomorrow with my son, like, 7, and then I'm up for the day. I don't really have time to nap, so then I'm up for 24 hours for the first day. Mm. Or a little bit more, because then, but like you know, the new shift comes on. Day shift comes in at 7. You give report, hot plate. You know,
I love it.
Still,
I want a picture. I need you to
hot plate.
I need you to post that on the Alicia Unleashed Facebook page.
Okay.
Just change it. It's like, the NICU hot plate.
Yeah,
like, it's amazing.
But yeah, and I get home around 8:30, depending on, like, what's going on, and then, you know, like, there's, like, morning, like, seeing the fam and whatever, so I'll lay down around 9 and sleep till, like, 1, and sometimes 2, so I'll get, like, the 5 hours, and then I'll be up and do a few things, but then I have to, you know, like, you leave around, like, I'll leave around, like, 6:15 just to get it
to
work,
crazy.
You know, just have time, so, so it's, like, you have, like, it's 12 hours technically, like, you know, because you do 7 to 7, but by the time you get home, it's, like, it's less than, you know, it's a little.
Right.
So you're trying to squeeze everything in. By Sunday night, it's just, like, robot mode. We're just, like, at home anyways, you know, you're just.
Right.
Kind of, like, meh, food.
Now, when your son gets older and he starts going to school, will you start picking up different shifts or anything like that?
Yeah, I think about it if, like, a day shift came up when he got to kindergarten and stuff, if I take it. It's hard, though, because, I do like the survive and, like, you know, having to rely on yourself and your team and just, you know, there's no suits around.
Right.
It's just a little bit more... Unleashed.
But it's
awesome.
I love her.
See what I did there?
She's amazing.
Oh, you woke up the cobra. Here she comes.
He's sliding across the floor.
She does this thing where her eyes get like they're slits, and she just looks like a cobra, like just waking up. Mm. Yeah, she's ridiculous. So we are at hour 19.
Holy shit! No, really.
We got good content.
Wow.
What do you want?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, this is a thing. We're good.
This is what
content.
We do.
I might edit, like, a minute out
but
of
that's
it.
That's it, but really.
I know
really
exactly
not,
which
though.
Minute it'll be. It'll be fine. It won't be like other ones. It'll be great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, we can leave it at that or whatnot.
No, totally. We've gone through everything.
Jess, is there anything that you want, because this is one of the questions that I think I sent to you, is there anything that you want the public or, like, people, listeners, to know about your job or about your team or about nurses in the NICU that we should have a better understanding besides all the content that you've already given us, which was amazing?
Yeah.
That you think that, like you said,
yeah.
You know, we talked about it, just like the 911 dispatcher.
Yeah.
We don't, as general public, we don't understand what you guys go through.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously don't Google in the hallway. We get it. But, you know, is there anything that we as people that just, you know, observing you guys in general should know?
I mean, I guess it's just that, like, at least for me and for, you know, almost everyone in my unit, like, we get it. It's the hardest day of your life and sometimes the hardest weeks and months. And But we sacrifice a lot to be there for the babies. You know, like I said, I'm away from my family to be caring for your family, and I wouldn't do that if it wasn't what I loved to do and and I wasn't putting my 100% heart into it. So even though it's hard to see that sometimes because it's a really tough position to be in, just know that those nurses, that we are just loving and putting everything we can into it for their babies.
Right.
Okay.
Well said.
I know.
I'm going to hook her up with Cilia real quick.
I got goosies.
She's just like Cilia. Like, her and Cilia will be like, boom.
I got goosebumps, totally. Man. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. You've coming been having and great spread.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is so much fun.
Oh, it's all Bridget, really.
Thank you.
Her wine, her spread, her house.
Yeah.
I'm just merely a guest.
What are you talking about? It's your name on the thing.
What she did, she said it so eloquently. So thank you so much. We are, oh God, episode 85.
Yeah.
Leisha Unleashed. We'll see you in the future time. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you guys.
And out.
Yeah. Peace.